This is Jennifer Hunt with Kathleen Ashburner on the 31st of March 2015 at her home in Baxenden, Lancashire. Kathleen, would you just like to introduce yourself?
Yes, I'm the leader of the Over 60s Club in Baxenden. Everything fades away, doesn't it? Which you have been since 1970. We meet every Wednesday in the local Conservative Club, and originally, when I took over, there were over 40 members. They filled the room in the Conservative Club, and if any new members turned up, they had to stand and wait to be seated, because everybody had their own seat. We have still got the original WRVS volunteers who helped me run the club. Can I put the names?
Yes, of course.
Mrs. Norma Kaup from Haslingden and Mrs. Hilda Seddon from Baxenden. The lady who was the original leader on the committee, Mrs. Nora Davis, unfortunately, is in hospital at the moment. I think that introduces me.
Yes. And why did you join WRVS originally?
Mrs. Nora Davis was the leader, and she was also the school secretary for the local junior school. The estate developed in Baxenden, new houses, more children going into school, and Nora was asked to do more hours. So she looked round for someone to take over, and for some reason, my children had been at the Baxenden school, so I did know her slightly. She came and she said, would I take over the Autumn Club? I didn't know it was WRVS at the time, but I had seen all these old people coming out of the Conservative Club at 4 o'clock when I picked the children up from school, because it's in the same area. And I realised that's what it was. So, yes, I took over. I don't mind running things. I usually like to be on a committee. And if things don't get moving, I like to be the chairman to get it going. So, yes, and I've made some very good friends, because when we moved into Baxenden on the farm, we were incomers, as they say in Lancashire, and nobody knew us. But by the time I'd been at the Autumn Club for a year or two, I knew everybody in Baxenden. It was a good experience. And I have enjoyed running it. I think that explains why I took over.
Which year did you join WRVS?
1970. The year that the decimalisation came in. We had a teacher from the college came up to the club to help us understand, which seemed absolutely impossible at the time.
And did she just come for the committee members, or was it also...
Oh, no, for everybody. Members? Yes. Yes, we were all confused. Yes, I took over in the October, and I suddenly had a Christmas party to arrange, which was held in the Conservative Club. In the afternoon, the committee prepared the tea. We had turkey and ham, salad, tea, bread and butter, cakes. I think there might have been trifles as well, which we prepared in the afternoon. And then all the members came in at 5 o'clock. Some of them had to be picked up by volunteers. And then we had a jolly good tea. We invited the mayor and mayoress. And then after tea, everything was cleared away and we had a concert. In those days, you could bring in groups who entertained. There were three ladies, there were ladies and men, and I think it was because they retired early and then had time to entertain other people. Nowadays, you don't hear of people making concert parties. They might be in a choir, but they don't like being the solo artist. And that was a Christmas party. Then at the end of the evening, the local coach firm, did I say firm, came to take the ladies home. Everything was so much easier, so much done to help other people. So that was how I started with the Christmas party.
And what did you know about WRVS before you joined?
Nothing. Nothing at all. No. No. No, I was busy. I was involved with the old students of the Haslinger Grammar School. I was on that committee. And I had three children. And just kept busy. So, no, I didn't know about it at all. But, and I realise a lot of people don't know about it.
You mentioned that your first thing at the club was the Christmas party. Do you have any other memories of your first few weeks and months at the club?
Well, getting to know the members, finding out the different characters, because there were a lot of different characters. I can't just think of anything odd at the moment. I know we had a couple who decided to get married. No, it's really just beginning to find out how over 60s thought. I mean, I was only 40 at the time and I was a young one. In fact, all the committee at the time were younger than me. So we were a lot of busy people, really. And then I had to book the programme for the year, bring in entertainers. They played at bingo some weeks, dominoes. We were very lucky that a friend who was the mayoress one year gave us a donation and we bought some lovely new sets of dominoes, which we're still using. We used to use the whole set of 10 boxes and now we use 2. I had to arrange outings. A lot of businesses opened their business to let you go around. We went to the potteries one trip. I've written down the... Oh, our favourite... Oh, are we?
Yes, it's on.
Yeah, favourite trip was to the Lake District. We went to... had lunch in the Priory. Two of our members entered an over-60s talent competition, which is held in Morecambe. Mr Sunderland, our professional organist or pianist, and Mr Taylor, who was a baritone. And they represented Baxenden Autumn Club at the talent competition. They didn't win, but we all supported them and had a good day out. Skipton, another favourite trip. We went to Grassington one summer for tea. Cashews in Kendal.
And those trips were in the 80s and 90s, were they?
Yeah. Yeah. The went to the Palace Theatre in Manchester. Hornsey Pottery in Morecambe, that was a favourite visit. Nearly everybody came home with some Hornsey Pottery. I think that's closed now.
How many did you used to take on a trip?
Well, there'll be a full coach of 40-odd. But when the original trip's out, they took two coaches. They actually started the club in a place called Baxenden Mission. And then when the mission was sold to turn into houses, the Conservative Club invited us in. And that's where we were when I joined. Yeah, we've been to a lot of the amateur shows. Ozzel Twistle Town Hall put on a lot of good shows, and we've been there. Brigadoon, Showboat, and yeah. Oh, in 1959, they went to Oxo, which was a factory in Great Harwood near Blackburn. Been to Brook Bonds, Crumpsall Biscuits, Beecham's, Massey's Brewery, Warburton's Bread. So yeah, we've been around.
Quite a variety of different activities.
But they're not available now because they really can't afford that facility. Yeah.
Because when you were doing these trips originally, were they funded by WRVS?
No. No, they saved up. They had collected every week for the trip. And they weren't expensive in those days. But sometimes we've had a donation from the mayor, and then we use that to pay for the coach. So that was subsidised, and then they just buy their own tea. Favourite tea was going to Bonds in Elswick near Blackpool. They used to put a tea on in the local Women's Institute building, which was a wooden building, and set the tea out. Sandwiches, custard pies, apple pies, cakes, the lot. And we have some ladies who were noted for having one of each. It used to be quite amusing to see that she hadn't seen that one. I'll have some of that. Yeah. Yes. It's amazing what was available to to visit. Mm.
And you said that you were in the Conservative Club. How would you describe the building that you were in?
It's not a simple one to talk in, because everybody sat round the room. So when I was trying to announce something, people at the left, maybe, I was turning to the right to say something. People at the left couldn't hear me because I haven't got a big voice.
No.
So some of the comments were, "What did she say?" And then I had to turn the other way and announce it again. But that was the problem. And especially for singers, they had to try to find a space where they were covering the room. The room, the building is divided into two. With at the left is a big snooker room, and at the right is the lounge. Over the years, it's been improved a lot. There is one of the members of the club does a lot of improving, and it's really a very nice building at the moment. And when we did have our big tea and entertainment, we were upstairs in the big ballroom. So it's been a very good building. The only thing about it that is difficult are the steps, which has put a lot of the members off eventually. There are about four steps going up to the front door, and as they've got older, they found it difficult to get up the steps. So being that's it, that really has been the only problem.
How many members did you have when you first became a leader?
I think there could have been about 45. Because they have been running for 10 years by then, haven't they? Or more. And the original older members, because there would be more than... originally, they would be older than over 60, because they would be joining when they could have been 80. So, of course, they were no longer there. But I think it was about 45 when I eventually took over. A good coach load. We have had problems with our coach trips, losing people. In Southport, two ladies decided that they were going the opposite way to where the coach was picking us up. And we went to Bolton one afternoon. And lost a lady because we were picked up by the side of the market, and we assumed that she had gone out of the other door in the market. We had to go to the police station and report, "We've lost a lady." And we stayed for about an hour waiting for her, and it was beginning to snow. So we had to come home. Discovered her daughter works in Manchester. She had got on the bus to Manchester to go to find her daughter and got home with her daughter. So eventually we discovered that she had been perfectly all right, and everybody will never forget the day we lost this lady.
How did you feel when you did have people go missing on the trip?
Well, I'm responsible. what could we do? What's the best way to find them? Luckily, it didn't happen a lot. Because I organised the driver that it wouldn't... Originally, they would go and park on a coach park and say, "This is where you will find me." Mm-hmm. And then you think, why do we have to do that? Drop us off in the middle of the town, pick us up in the middle of the town. No problem.
Yeah.
So they began to realise that they knew where to get on the coach. You just need to organise these men. You really do.
And you, when you joined your role as a club leader, did that change over time? Your role in the club as a leader, did that change?
No. No, I don't think so. No, I've had good support from my family. We used to, when it was a Christmas party, for instance, we had a lot of plates which we owned. And my son and another lady's son came in and helped to move the plates, brought them away. I've had a lot of support, and I've really enjoyed it. People say, how do you manage every Wednesday? How can you think of something every Wednesday? Well, on the Tuesday night, I usually work out a quiz. Fortunately, since the computer came into the world, it's been a lot easier. You can print off the quiz. I have quite a few quiz books, and they never know what they're going to find when they come into the club, but they're always perfectly happy. Some are better at it than others, obviously, but keep the brains ticking over is the idea. No, I feel I'm just the same. Maybe not as much patience.
You mentioned before a couple of volunteers who also helped at the club. Was there anyone else over the years that's volunteered there?
Yes, we've originally, in the front of the minute book, there are the names of everyone who was helping at the time. There's a lady who had the paper shop on the same row as the Conservative Club, Mrs. Garlick. The paper shop was closed on Wednesday afternoon, so she came in to help. Mrs. Kaup, unfortunately, she lost her first husband and had to go out to work more, so she couldn't come in regularly, but she kept the books for us. In fact, we used to have an accountant who did the audit, but eventually Norma did the audit, and it was quite acceptable to WRBS. We had a Miss Ingham. They shared. There was, at the beginning, everyone was so keen. Miss Gregson probably was a good leader and got everyone interested to help. And there were a lot of helpers. Another one was Mabel Moorhouse. And Mr. Metcalf. Mrs. Parkinson. They're all local people.
And did they help in different ways?
Yeah, they would come in, especially the Christmas party, when we did need more help. They would come in the afternoon to set up the tables. Yeah. We had two very good accompanists for our entertainers. Mr. Sunderland, who was a piano teacher in his spare time, and Jack Adamson, who taught the organ. They took the piano out of the club and put an organ in, and it didn't suit a lot of the entertainers, not quite the same, but they managed. the people from Baxenden who had the time and the inclination did help. But not the grafters, actually. That's where we are at the moment. Yeah, we used to give donations to various charities. We're not supposed to do, but they were special. The hospice in Blackburn needed donations. St Dunstan's, we had a lovely entertainer called Bill Griffiths, who was wounded in the Second World War. He was a prisoner of the Japanese. He was blinded and lost his hands. And he went out working for St Dunstan's. And he came. The first time he came, he spoke about St Dunstan's. And then every year after that, came to entertain us. He and his wife and a friend who accompanied them. And that was a lovely afternoon. His wife was very picky. She didn't let anyone speak when she was when they were singing. Occasionally, you couldn't resist saying something, could you? And then the hospital were collecting for some new machine. And we had a special event for that. In fact, one of our members opened her house and we had a day with an open house in aid of that.
How did you raise funds for these different groups? Was it through...
Like this extra open house... and doing special, different things in the club, I think. St Dunstan's particularly, it was a donation from the club funds. But the others were special. We perhaps had a special raffle, something like that. In fact, my cousin is in Brazil, and she went out as a nurse missionary, and she came over with her family, and we gave them a donation. What was the question?
How did you fund?
Oh, how did we fund? Yes, yeah, mainly an extra raffle or a special tea party. Or you're just using the club funds.
How did you get the club funds? Was that people paying the?
Yeah, every when they come in, they used to pay. Very little. It was like threepence halfpenny in old money. And then it went up to 5p. And then at the present time, we charge a pound. But before that, we used to get donations, extra donations, in a matchbox. It was an idea from somebody. Everybody had a matchbox and they put in odds and ends of coppers. And every week they were brought in, counted up and made it a list and a thank you, named thank you to everyone. But when we put the price up to a pound, the donations stopped, as though we're paying enough. Mm-hmm. That's it. What we do is have a raffle every week. Everybody brings a raffle prize. So everybody gets a prize.
Yeah.
We didn't used to do it. It used to be three prizes and that was it, when it was a big club, because we couldn't have had a tray with 40-odd prizes on. But, that's the way it works now. But it was amazing how the Matchbox donations dried up. And nobody ever said anything, but that was it. And at the beginning of the year, we pay £1 membership. But that's not a lot now when there's only eight of us. So really, the funds are dwindling. We did pay half of the cost of the Christmas party lunch this year. It was £11, and we paid £6, and the members paid a £5. But I don't know what will happen this year. If we do close the club, we have to use the money for the members. So we'll just have a do.
Yeah, a nice party too.
Yeah.
And you mentioned before that you had quite a few characters who used to come to the club as well. Do you remember any of the people who used to come as members?
Yes. Well, there was a little couple that got married. Actually, he fell downstairs and was killed. We often wondered. I'll leave that blank. This lady that we know, when we went out for tea, took a bit of everything. People that would shout out, "You can't sit there. It's so-and-so's seat." They couldn't think that they should welcome the new members in. It was, "You're a newcomer." Yes, we had a lady. Margaret, she was called, insisted on pouring the tea. In fact, at the end of the day, she was getting a bit dangerous. But that was her job. And that was another thing. Anybody that came to help had to be WRVS, of course. But if they had a job to do, they wouldn't give it up for somebody else to do it. Pouring tea, for instance. And then after Margaret, there's another lady, Alice. Could upset everybody. Comments. And she took over the tea. And she insisted on pouring the tea until she was registered blind, but only partly blind. And you think, she's a bit of a dangerous person pouring that tea. But she insisted on doing it. And the accompanists. If you're dealing with a professional artist, you have to have kid gloves on. They have to be treated in a special way. That's what I learned. I didn't know that before. Artists are the singers, yes. They're used to going round to different clubs and being treated differently. But your own pianist or organist had to, stroke. Yeah, there's been... there are a lot of characters. Everyone was different. Like now, we only have six members, but nobody offers to help. They are there to be looked after. They won't bring their cup and saucer to be washed. No, it's amazing how people take it that we're there to do it and we can do it.
You mentioned before that you had Christmas parties and lunches and different things, but you also had, you mentioned in the information that you sent me that you had tea parties at Easter as well.
Yes, we're having one this week on Wednesday, tomorrow. I've been boxing up the Easter eggs ready. In the pound shops, you can buy all sorts of clever things. And I bought some little bags that they can put Easter eggs in. And they're going to go around and find them around the snooker tables. I don't know what they'll do when they see that. They have to get out of the seats and walk round. Yes, and we have sandwiches and jellies and cakes at Easter. And we do a birthday party in September and do a similar tea party. Norma Cope always made us the birthday cake. We don't need a big birthday cake now. And one lady doesn't eat currants. So she has to have a piece of plain cake. She's another character. She is a WRVS member and has done the emergency with me. And at the moment she does library books. But she doesn't want to help at the club. She's a member. So, yes, with and any excuse for a party, the royal family, we've celebrated everybody. 50th and Golden and the wedding. In fact, the wedding we celebrated with the home, which is down in Accrington. It's a private residential home. And we were invited to go in there at once a month on the Wednesday. Unfortunately, it's too warm, and a lot of the members wouldn't go in. Some of the members said they're too old, don't want to sit with old people. But we got together to celebrate the wedding. I've got some photographs. My daughter has a wedding shop. And I brought some hats in, and they all wore a hat. So yes, we any excuse, Ascot. Yeah, we did Ascot. Yeah, usually got it sorted on the Tuesday night, ready for Wednesday. Yeah, the timing makes you able to do something. Mm. Yeah.
Did you also celebrate WRVS?
Oh, yes. Yes, yes. Yes, I had to be told what it was for. They didn't realise why they were celebrating at first, but any excuse for a party.
Did you celebrate with the rest of WRVS when you were celebrating those anniversaries?
Well, no. WRVS used to be in Accrington when I joined at first, and they had a clothing section. Then Miss Gregson died, and I think the clothing petered out. The office was closed because they were changing over, closing Preston and that sort of thing. So Accrington has disappeared. There used to be quite a good emergency team led by a Mrs. Freeman. but they gradually dropped out, and it ended up with Irene and myself. I think Mrs. Freeman fell out with somebody, as they do. So we did local emergency cover. And learned how to treat other nationalities while we were there, because they couldn't eat ham sandwiches, for instance. Yeah, it was a learning curve, that, yeah. And it was interesting. We enjoyed doing it.
When did you join the emergency services?
Oh, perhaps about 2 years after joining WRVS. I think there was some information about it, and we had to go into Blackburn to be taught how to do it, how to take the names, etc., and keep a record. That was interesting. But at the end of the day, they took that off us and said, you can go and brew the tea.
When you first joined the emergency service team, did you have practical training sessions?
Yes. We there's a school in Bacup, and they had a practice session. They brought in so many people who had been affected with the emergency, and we had to look after them and give them some soup and bread. But, yeah. In fact, that's when I first tasted tomato and what's it? Soup.
Tomato and
the name's gone. Anyway,
can't think what it is now.
Yeah, a new soup that I hadn't tasted before. In fact, I can probably tell you it's in the pantry. Yeah, it was. They were very interesting things to take part in. I read in the Action magazine that it says in there that there isn't the same need because of the supermarkets. They can supply all the necessary food. But you still need somebody to brew the tea and serve it, yeah.
And were you also giving people comfort as well, talking to them?
Yes. Yeah, there were different categories. With children, you had to be... you had to have another qualification to deal with the children. Well, yes... there didn't seem to be anybody that was really upset that we dealt with, because there was the other sections as well that were the Red Cross, etc., and the social services were there. In fact, one of the emergencies, we were there the first. Nobody was there to take the names. So we said, oh, we'd better take the names down. Do it, because we've been trained. But otherwise, they don't really... they haven't called on us lately. Must have refused so often. It was too late and too far away. And I think there's quite a big group in Blackburn that could cover. And Clitheroe has a good... group. Have you been to Clitheroe?
No.
I know they do a meal, a luncheon club in Clitheroe. My daughter has a friend who actually works in there. It's been very interesting being involved.
You mentioned before that you were involved with clothing the Kosovan refugees when they came over.
Yes, sorting the clothing out. There was an appeal out. The Kosovans were based in Calderstone's Hospital, which was just on the verge of closing. And there was an appeal out for clothing, and it came in droves. We were really overwhelmed. We thought we were making some progress, and then another lot would come in. Some really good things, new things, and we were sorting out the rubbish as well, which you also get some rubbish. But we never finished it. Eventually the clothing was taken into another part of the building and arranged as a dress shop or a men's shop, so that they could come in and choose enough clothing to help them through. And then some of them went home. I don't know where, oh yeah, I've got the reports in the back. In the some moved into housing in various parts of Lancashire, and some went home.
Back to Kosovo.
Yeah. Yeah, some of the, one of our ladies, Irene, became very friendly with them. Yeah, they couldn't speak English, that was the problem. Yeah. But it was very good. It was just the right building to be useful for that situation. Yeah, that's Irene. And that's how it was set out in the shop.
I see, so you've got set different shelving and sections.
Yeah, yeah, it was very well done. And the emergency team from Preston organised it all.
Were there any big emergencies that you were called out to while you were on the emergency services team?
Not really, no. One was a house fire that they had to bring everybody in that area, into the local sports centre. But no, there were... Nobody had to stay in. That would have been a big emergency. They were treated when they came in, fed, and then were taken to bed and breakfast places or something like that. And then we could stand down. That was, I think, a really big one would have been when they all had to sleep. The practice ones, we stayed overnight. Well, they were able to do if they wanted to do. I think we came home. So they had to sleep on the floor and on a mattress of some sort. But no, nothing dreadful, which was good. You don't really want big emergencies, do you? You're there in case, but it's not something that you want. But the practice ones were fun.
Did you have any equipment that you kept at home for taking
out?
Yes,
I have a flask for hot water, which I'm supposed to fill up before I go, and take the tabard, of course, the pad, pen, my name tab. Yes, that sort of thing. Yeah, I've got it ready in a bag, actually. And I have actually used the hot water flask for my daughter's 50th birthday. They're very useful. So one day they'll perhaps ask for it back. Yeah.
So WRVS gave you the bless them.
They gave it me to look after. Always go with some biscuits, for instance, and so that you have something to begin with. And then while you were there, somebody would go out to the supermarket and get bread and etc. To make sandwiches. Or when we were in the sports centre, the cafe there supplied all the sandwiches.
And before shops were open 24 hours, did they open up especially for the emergency?
Everything's made it easier to cater. Yeah. Yeah.
And were there other volunteers you used to go on the emergencies with?
Well, Irene, I used to drive and pick Irene up. Yes, at the beginning there was another lady who lived in Blackburn. There's Mrs. Freeman. But gradually that ended up with just Irene and myself. Plus someone from Blackburn who used to come in and take over. Oh, we do it this way, said she. So we stood back and said, well, yes, do it. There's always somebody that thinks they know better.
And you said more recently that you've not really been called out on emergencies.
No, maybe there haven't been any. I haven't read of any in the area. Or maybe they think we've refused to go out to the distant ones, and of course I wouldn't know about them. Something else I would could tell you about. In Baxenden there was a home for elderly men, Hilltop. It's been pulled down now, but the lady who was the matron was the leader of the Autumn Club at one time. So of course we collaborated together, and we had the men coming from Hilltop to the Autumn Club. Some of them were needed looking after, but I'll never forget we went out one trip to Glastonbury, and we were getting off the coach and walking into Glastonbury. And there were the men walking one behind the other towards Glastonbury, looking rather funny. But it was very good. We ended up with one man that used to come out with us, and I used to stay with him because he wasn't able to look after himself when we were out of the area. And I used to be his carer when we were out on the, for instance, when we went to Blackpool, I used to stay with him. And he was a very nice man. He really appreciated it. And he came up to all the parties and the meetings. Five became members. We invited them up and five of them became members. We used to get a donation from the police every year, but that dried up. Probably put it in their own charity.
Did you get other groups giving you money from their funds as well for the club?
No, just the mayor. Yes, there was a local council arrangement. Each area of Accrington had their own local council, and they used to meet two or three times a year, and they had so much money given to use in their own area, and we had donations from them, perhaps £100, something like that, to pay for the Christmas party, which was very welcome. Now the council have decided that the not having these individual area councils. They need the money. So that's dried up. So the thing is, look after yourself, really. If the members want to do something, they can afford it. They're not poor elderly people. There are poor elderly people, probably, but my members have never been poor. It must be, possibly Baxenden is a better area. It is meant to be a better area. So probably the elderly people here are better off.
So they're able to pay when you're they can pay if they're needed.
Yes. They go on holidays, as I do. I've just been last weekend, came back with a cold.
And is there any other services or WRVS work you've been involved with over the years?
No, because when I joined, I stipulated I was only doing the Autumn Club. But Nora Davis, who was the leader before me, when she retired, did Meals on Wheels. No, I thought just doing the Autumn Club was enough. And then I decided I could do the help with emergency, because it was mostly in the evening for some reason. Or tea time. You get a phone call. Can you come? I say to my husband, there's your tea. We're off.
How did you feel when you were called out on the emergency?
Interested. Yeah, I like organising people. Yeah. Wondering what would be happening, and meeting different people and helping people.
Did you have much involvement with the wider WRVS organisation?
No. How do you mean by the wider,
so
really?
Organisation itself, so the people who were higher up and the county and...
No, because we did when it was run from Preston. Because the lady who did the emergency was involved, and we met her. Occasionally, I think we had a meeting in Blackburn with the higher-ups, but I think things were changing when I joined, and they became Cardiff. It's eventually Cardiff,
yes,
isn't it?
But I think when you just a few years after you joined, we would have changed to districts, so they would have changed all the centres round.
And it's changed every 5 minutes ever since. We have all had our medals presented, yeah, our 40 years, etc. Nora Davis had her 50 years because she joined during the Second World War. So we all got that. but we never, I think Nora's son lives in London. And I think she attended one of the services because she had somewhere to stay. But we've not been involved with that sort of thing. Although we've been invited to go down. It's not been feasible. No. No, I don't know where it will end up, whether they'll have to, it says in the magazine, doesn't it, they may have to amalgamate with another charity.
Mm-hmm.
That was something else. Age concern really made us cross in Accrington. We meet every Wednesday. They decided to put a dance on every Wednesday in the local town hall. Fortunately, our members didn't want to go, but it was a bit mean picking the day that we meet to put that on. And we've also had a feeling that they weren't really with us. And obviously they were trying to do the same thing that the WRVS were trying to do. This taking somebody home from hospital and being there is very important. That's what I have with this Nora. She has a coal fire, so which does the central heating. She won't have gas in. So her house is like a fridge at the moment. So when she comes home, somebody needs to have been in that house to warm it. But they're not very keen on letting you know in advance. When I asked at the hospital, can you give me any idea? Are you family? And I said, no, but I'm a carer and a friend and a neighbour. Well, we don't know yet. But it's always, are you family? I mean, it's somebody that's in asking. They obviously need to know, don't we?
Yeah.
So we need to know to warm her house before she comes home. Her son lives in London. Her other son works in South Africa and has a house in south of France. They don't come up enough, but they would like her to move into a home. And she doesn't want to do, because it's her home where she had a husband and everything's there. But she needs a lot of help. She does have carers, and they're very good. But this coal fire is a nightmare, because some of the carers have never seen a coal fire before. So they're getting used to it now. So that's going to be something. But that's it. How many more people need that when they're going home from hospital? You've read about them being put out in the night, put in a taxi and sent home. Nobody knows where they are. That is not good. So I think WRVS could really jump in there.
Yeah. And I know in some areas we do have the home from hospital services.
Mm. Yeah, that was something. We had the cafe in the Blackburn Hospital. I did help there occasionally, but I wasn't very good on the till. It takes a bit of learning. But that was interesting. But they put it out to tender when they built the new hospital. And the WRVS didn't get the tender. So it's, I think it's W.H. Smith that run it. But they don't give anything. Well, they pay the hospital, obviously. But the WRVS gave a lot of money back to the hospitals. They do have one in Bury Hospital, WRVS there. You could go and interview them. They would be different. Yeah.
And when you helped out at the hospital canteen shop, was that just to cover when there were people away?
Yes. In fact, to begin with, I went round with the trolley. And that was hard work, because you were up and down in the lift, in and out the wards, and having to deal with the money quickly because people were in the waiting area. It was interesting. But eventually I said, no, I'll help in the shop, but not the trolley. I've tried a few things. I haven't done the book library book delivery yet. But I might do that one day. Well, I can still drive.
Yep.
Well, they let me drive.
Is there anything which we haven't talked about today that you'd like to mention?
I don't think so. I think I've been sort of popping through the minute book and seeing if anything hits me. Oh, when I did join to begin with, we collected old woolens. At that time, they could be recycled. The wool somehow, I don't know. But we had a man called Mr. Woolen. No, wasn't called Mr. Woolens. They called him Mr. Woolens. And he took the wool and got money for it to give to the Autumn Club. I think that's annual general meetings. 2 minutes. Yes, the committee can be re-elected. Yes, oh, definitely. Oh, Mrs. Garnett, the old people's organiser from Preston, visited the club. So that was in 1982. There was a very, very good concert party that was the nurses from Accrington Victoria Hospital called themselves the Victorians, and they were brilliant. They came round entertaining. Yeah, if people had a special anniversary or a birthday, they treated us to refreshments. We went round the Illuminations one year.
In Blackpool.
You don't need to do it again.
Once is enough, is it?
Yeah. Well, we did it with the children. Then we did it with the over 60s. And I think that's enough. We've had various stewards in the club who've been very helpful. They put the heat on for us before we go in. And in fact, they trust me with keys for the club, so I can go in when get myself in when I need to do. When we've given donations to the two churches in Baxenden, St John's the Baptist and Baxenden Methodists, we gave £10 for flowers to each church, rather than give them for individual funerals. Now that Baxenden Mission isn't there, we just give it to Baxenden St John's. We had a nice afternoon when our local doctor, Dr. Sloan, retired, because most of the members had been looked after by him. So we invited him to tea and presented him with a picture of Baxenden, the road in Baxenden, which he must have driven up a few times. That was a nice afternoon. The committee have entertained at times. We did music hall. We have photographs. We all dressed up and practiced singing here in my house with Mr. Sunderland. And there was one song that we just could not get right. Tulips from Amsterdam. That might not have been the music hall one, but it's got a funny twist in the middle, and it took us a long time to get that right. Yes, we did that, and then we celebrate Chinese New Year. I had some lovely, my mother-in-law's dressing gowns, which was silk, and they made lovely Chinese costumes, and the members made the Chinese hat, if you call it. Yeah. We have had some very happy afternoons, and we still do. Just a few of us. I think I've said everything. Can you think of anything else?
No. Overall, how has WRVS changed since you joined in 1990?
I think too many big salaries.
Mm-hmm.
It's got too big at the top end. They have cleared a few out, haven't they, according to the...
Yes.
Everything gets too big. It's the same, isn't it? Everywhere, in the hospital, too many managers. And they won't come unless the salary is equal to what they could get anywhere else. But it's the way of the world, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But if they're doing something useful, what I don't like are the raffles. They used to send raffle tickets to every WRVS member. Well, can you imagine? There were five in the club trying to sell raffle tickets. So in the end, I said, they all sent them back, except me, and I said, send me the raffle tickets, I will sell them, and that's it. But we get two or three lots a year, and raffles are a pain. The members, we used to have a big raffle ourselves in the club at Christmas. We used to sell, ask the members to take raffle tickets to sell to their families. That was another way of making some income for us. But they don't want to bother. I don't know. People don't want to bother it too much. So in the end, you do it. Buy it yourself. Pay for it yourself. Put it down to a charity donation. It's easier than asking somebody else.
And where do you think Royal Voluntary Service, as it is now, place in society is today?
If they could show that they are doing something for this hospital, I think that they would be. But apart from that, like they've made the emergency smaller, haven't they? Hospital shops have gone. I don't think there are many, are there? I wouldn't know, really. I only know my local one. But everything's running down. And over 60s clubs are definitely, not just mine. When I say we only have so many members, people say, yes, every club is the same. So it's just a change, isn't it? But I think this is very important. The older people coming out of hospital, there's so many more in and out of hospital. As I know from this friend of mine, Nora, she's in and out of hospital. So there must be more people falling. I just hope I don't end up that way. Although I have family in the area. But, yeah.
And what do you think is the future for Royal Voluntary Service?
Well, to me, to find a very, very useful thing to do. Yeah. And I think possibly the hospitals should, I know they haven't any money, but should involve it with them, share the money, so that they have people volunteering to do this side of it. But they need some support, don't they? And the government could support it. They that's gone down, hasn't it? They just gradually put less and less in. But if you're looking after volunteers, somebody organising volunteers, not too many organisers, I'm just sounding awful, organising volunteers, there are a lot of volunteers, but they need organising, they need a centre to work from. And I think this hospital one is very important.
And what has been your most memorable moment of your time with WRVS or Rural Voluntary Service?
Nothing's extra memorable. Just really, when they say thank you, I always have a present given at Christmas to say thank you. And that's it. That's what I appreciate. Yeah. Nothing memorable. I've enjoyed everything that we do. It's nice that they accept what I go on the Wednesday when they come in. What are we doing today? And oh right, and I've told them what we're doing today, which is they all take part. Yeah, I have enjoyed making friends, and bossing them out about. I think that's it.
Well, yeah. Thank you, Kathleen, for talking to me today, and this will make a really good contribution to our Voices of Volunteering project.